Now let us turn, please, back to the book of Revelation. And you turn to this sixth chapter, where we had arrived last Sunday night, this white horse. But I want you to turn to chapter 10, verse 7, and then underscore the latter part of it. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. The prophets. Now that takes us back to Daniel in Isaiah. And it means that in the study of the book of Revelation, we are to reach back into the prophets and see what they said, which has not yet been fulfilled. And the mystery of the prophets is to be fully revealed and fully accomplished when we get to the end of the book of Revelation. I have sought to tell you that in this grand climax which we have, the great consummation of how God is going to wind everything up. He created it. Here was man. Here was the fall. Here was the promise of a Redeemer. And then God's dealings with his people all down through these years as it centered around Jerusalem, and finally the rejection of Christ and the dispersion of the Jews throughout the world and the beginning of the New Testament ministry. All of that's come down through the line of history. And now you and I are in the church. We're at this period. It's where God has chosen for us to be. He put us here, given us saving faith, and here we are. Now this book has been given to the churches, to the churches. It's open, no longer sealed. And as Daniel's book was sealed until the time of the end, now we're told in this text that I give you that the mystery that God gave to the prophets will be accomplished during this time. So everything in this Bible from the beginning clear down seems to just funnel itself, direct itself right into this great conclusion, right into this magnificent consummation, when Jesus shall come and take the reins of power, and when Jesus shall bring to himself his church. So you have this reference in Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Last Sunday, we had reached the point in chapter 6 where I had sought to bring out into clear understanding that this man on the white horse was the mighty beast. And as you have followed me, I have sought to identify these big personages, the main characters on the stage as they appear here. And the first one, of course, is Christ. He speaks to his church, and then he's the Lamb who finally takes the beast and puts him in the lake of fire. And now we've gotten down to where we've looked at the beast. We're looking at the beast to see the things that we have revealed here concerning him. And we start at the back and have worked down through the sections. In chapter 13, you have a detailed description of the beast and then his accompanying aid, this false prophet, this Kissinger, somebody said. He comes along here and gives all this tribute and all this honor unto this great beast. And then we move back to the beast that in the 11th chapter that kills the true witnesses, the two witnesses in the street. And we come to this chapter 6 where the Lord opens the first seal. The first break that opens up is the vision of this man on the white horse. And this is the revealing of this great world dictator, this world great beast. Now, he's going to have the power of Satan. All of that will be given to him. Now, as I close the message last Sunday, I told you that I was of the opinion, and I think we can support it, that these descriptions of the man on the White House, the white horse, or four horses, are of the same man. They're the same person. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four living creatures saying, "Come and see." Now, you'll recall when we dealt with these living creatures, we pointed out that they had these various countenances. There was the countenance of the lion and the countenance of the ox. There was the countenance of a man. There was the countenance of the eagle. And I point out that these four stood there in the center, in the presence, and they certainly represented the various presentations of our Savior. Now here, these four, who represent the presentations of our Savior, these four come forward and present us these four different aspects of the Antichrist. Here they come. The four living creatures that represented Christ, as I pointed out, as the king, as the lion in Matthew, and as the servant in Mark, and as the man in Luke, and as the deity in John. There they are, four different portraits of Christ. Now here come these living creatures, four of them, and each one takes off a picture here of the Antichrist. Each one does that. And then as we turn, we'll notice the interlocking. He went forth in verse 2, conquering and to conquer. He's on a white horse. He's had a bow. He's going to tie up the whole world now. His appearance has come. All right. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. Well, the man who's going to take peace from the earth is the same one that's riding on a horse and going forth to conquer and to conquer. And when you're going forth to conquer and to conquer, you're in the midst of disturbing the peace. And he and they that shall kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So here he comes, not with the sword in his mouth, as the Lord Jesus Christ will have in Revelation 19, and Christ rides upon a white horse too. But here comes the Antichrist, and he's going to have a great sword. Now here's verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard, as it were, in the midst of the four beasts say, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that ye hurt not the oil and the wine." Well, now here he comes, the same person, but this time he's dealing with the economic realities of the world situation. And the wheat is scarce, and we've got famine, and he's in a position to have to deal with this, and he says, "A measure of wheat for a penny," and he's got real economic problems on his hands. And we come in Revelation 13, and he has a mark that you have to have in order to buy and sell. They've rationed everything. They're distributing everything so that men will be able to exist and live. And here he is operating in that aspect. And then we come on down, if you will, please, to the fourth seal. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death. Death. I brought something out in my message this morning that perhaps we've never seen just as I did bring it. But this last representation of the four seals is that this great beast will have the name of Death. And if you don't have his mark, you're going to be put to death. If you don't have his mark, you're going to be put to death. If you don't have his name, you're going to be put to death. You can't buy or sell. And I went further this morning and pointed out that anyone who would confess the Lord Jesus in the midst of this time, he would have to refuse to have that mark. And to refuse to have that mark meant death. It meant death. And it means that during this tribulation period, during this last week, during this tribulation period, those who do confess the Lord Jesus Christ will have to refuse to have the mark. And that means they're put to death. Now, the name of this man, the last one here, is Death. It's Death. Perhaps I'd better open up this as I touched on it in my morning message. You can't buy or sell. And the Lord said, as I gave it to you, that if you have the mark, then this awful wrath will be upon you. If you don't have the mark, the beast will kill you. It's just that. Either you take the mark or you die. If you have the mark, the wrath of God's going to be on you. And you will die and perish. Everyone who takes that mark upon themselves, they are finished forever. But those who don't take that mark will be put to death. And this great world dictator has as his name Death. Death. Now, if you'll notice in the next verse, notice verse 9, and when he'd opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. Here were those who were put to death for the word of God and for the testimony which they had. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood? We've been put to death down there on them that dwell on the earth. And the white robes were given, every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And the moment this great Antichrist takes power, he comes with his sword, he comes upon his horse to conquer, he comes to deal with these four aspects that are given in the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the minute he does that, he's going to immediately kill anybody that would dare take the Bible and open it and say, I believe it. You're put to death. And these tribulation saints are the saints that die the moment they put their faith in Jesus Christ. This beast is going to completely eliminate them. Did you know, beloved, that spirit is about us right now? That spirit's on this earth right now? And when your pastor deals with WXUR, I'm struggling with these things day in and day out, and I see the crushing blow and see what they're doing. And we now got word out of Washington that there's some 40 fundamentalists, 40 of them. I'm among the leaders. 40 of them have been picked. Jim Nichols gave me the story yesterday. Have been picked, and the government is going right after each one of them, and they're going to eliminate them. They're going to eliminate them. Now, here's the same spirit that you and I feel now. But wait till the church is taken out and we're gone. And then you go into this tribulation period. The Bible will still be here. And any man who dares take this book and read it and believe it, the first thing he'll have to do is say, I won't take the mark. I have nothing to do with that mark. Then he's dead. Put to death. Notice in that verse where I just read it. Those in heaven who've just been put to death for their testimony, and we're reading verse 11, that yet they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were killed should be fulfilled. Should be fulfilled. Now, as I've sought to explain to you that Revelation chapter 6, the four horsemen of that apocalypse is all the same horsemen. You've got the four gospels presenting the ministry of Christ. You've got the four horsemen now presenting the riding power of this Antichrist and this great beast, and here he is in these various aspects at that point. Now, will you turn with me back to Daniel chapter 9? Daniel chapter 9. And I've already dealt with this 70-week prophecy, and we came down to the 1 week which is yet to be fulfilled.
And in verse 26 of Daniel 9, and after 62 years shall Messiah be cut off, and not for himself.
So 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, and not for himself. Christ will be crucified. And the people of the prince that shall come. Now here we come to the prince that shall come. This is the great Antichrist. This is the beast. Shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. The people of the prince that shall come. And it was the Romans who came, destroyed the sanctuary. They destroyed the temple. And they destroyed the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And Jesus said that would take place. Now here is Daniel in chapter 9, 540 years before Christ ever came, telling us that the Messiah would be cut off and that the city would be destroyed and the sanctuary, that is the temple, would be destroyed and the people of the prince that shall come would do this. And the end thereof shall be with flood, and in the end of the war desolations are determined, and he... The prince that shall come, here he is. This is your beast. This is your Antichrist. Shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. For 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifices and the oblation to cease. Now, the reason I'm turning your attention to this is that I want to take you back to Revelation. And here is the man on the white horse. The moment the Lord breaks the seal, he's the first one you see, and God has carried the church and us into heaven, and this one makes a covenant. It begins the week. And at the beginning of that week, he makes this covenant with these Jews, and in the middle of the week, he's going to break it. So you come to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Here's the beast at the end. He's taken and he's tied and put in the lake of fire. You move on back, on through, and you come to 13. And there in 13 you have the beast, the description of it. But will you turn to Revelation chapter 11? You turn to Revelation chapter 11. You get at that point? And in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 11 we read, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city they shall tread underfoot 42 months. You've got a week. 42 months is 3.5 years, which is 1/2 of the 7-year week. And this Antichrist is to confirm a covenant at the beginning of that week. In the middle of that week, he's going to break that covenant, and the Gentiles whom he represents will move in. And you have Revelation 11, where you have the identification there, that the Gentiles, they shall tread underfoot the holy city 42 months. 42 months. So at this point, beloved, we've got some kind of a schedule here. You've got the beginning of a week where the prince of the people that shall come, he's going to confirm a covenant for the people of God. And in the middle of that week, it will be broken. And then he'll move on down until the end of that week when the Lamb of God comes and destroys. Now here is where you put the Old Testament Daniel into the New Testament Revelation, and the two fit perfectly together. And that's why that text I've just given you from this 10th chapter of the book of Revelation about the mystery of all the prophets being fulfilled. And all you have to do is to see Revelation, see Daniel 9, with the 70th week there, and the breaking up of that 70th week. Now turn back to Daniel 9 and look at it. After 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. Those were the Romans. They came and they did it. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and to the end of the war desolations are determined. And he, that is the prince now that's going to come, and here he is, the Antichrist, the beast of Revelation. He is there at the beginning of the tribulation period, the 7 great years. He's there at the very beginning. So here he is on the white horse in Revelation 6. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, and we'll come to that in one of our other messages about the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, and which Jesus himself also refers to. You know, when I see that Mr. Kissinger going over there to make a covenant, getting to some sort of terms of peace with the Arabs and with the Jews, he hasn't got it yet, and he's a long way from it. But when I see this disturbance is all through the Middle East, and here Russia comes in here with the kings of the north, here they come in here, and here we are in here, and all this turmoil that's upsetting the earth right at the present moment, it's going to keep coming, it's going to keep coming, it's going to keep coming. But when the church is taken out, this great beast will confirm a covenant with the Jews for 1 week. He'll confirm a covenant with them. You say, you can go ahead. Now that raises a lot of questions. And when you and I go over there in May, we're going to see something. Right over the Dome of the Rock, right over the place where Abraham offered Isaac, right over the place where the ark sat, right over the place where the temple was all those 400 years, today is the Mosque of Omar. The Mohammedans have it. And something's going to have to happen to tear that place down and move that out so the Jews can come back in. And all those things are going to have to adjust themselves. And they will. Because this is the way God has ordained it to be. And this mighty Antichrist who will be revealed when the Lord Jesus Christ is taking his church out. Two nights ago, I turned you to that place in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 where we said that he's not going to be revealed until he that letteth doth let, and he's taken out, and then shall that wicked one be revealed. And the moment we're taken out, the moment the church goes up in the twinkling of an eye, that wicked one shall be unveiled, and he'll move in a hurry with great world power, as you have here, riding on these horses. And then he'll make his agreement with the Jews, as you have it here in Daniel 9. All right, now will you turn, please, me over to Daniel 2, and then we'll look for a moment, perhaps, at Daniel 3. And all of this just fits itself so beautifully together. In Daniel, the 2nd chapter, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream one night. Nobody could interpret it. And in verse 19 we read, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. This is the secret. This is the mystery. Then Daniel blessed the Lord God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, verse 20, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Verse 23, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desire of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me before the king, and I will show unto thee the king, unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah, that will make known unto the king the interpretation. And the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known unto King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the vision of thy upon thy head, upon thy bed, are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came unto thee, came to mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. Oh, beloved, here is Daniel, 500 years before Christ. Here he is talking to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had this vision of a man, his head of gold, you know, and then silver, and then brass, and iron, and feet of clay. He had that vision. And then God gives to Daniel the interpretation of it. And Daniel goes into Nebuchadnezzar and says, Nebuchadnezzar, it's not the soothsayers, it's not the astrologers. There's a God in heaven, and he has revealed to thee what shall be in the latter time. And then he tells him he's the head of gold. Then he tells him there'll be another kingdom after him of silver, another one of brass, and then there'll be one of iron. You'll break down into two legs. You'll come down into the toes, and you'll have 10 toes. You'll have 10 kingdoms, and they'll be of clay and iron. My, what a vision. And beloved, as I read that a while ago, and I've read it again to you tonight, Daniel is so tremendously absorbed with it. He's weak. He's crushed. He's utterly helpless in the presence that God would take back the curtain and reveal what would happen in the very end time. And he did it to Nebuchadnezzar and said, Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. All right, there'll be another man after you. There'll be another man after you. There'll be another man after you. In the final end, there'll be 10 toes and there'll be 10 kings. And in the day of those particular kings, there'll come a stone and it'll be cut out without hands. Not of man's making or man's doing. And that stone will come in that day and it'll smite that image and it'll go into dust, into powder, and the winds will blow it away. And in that moment, the God of heaven will set up his kingdom. That stone cut out without hands is Christ coming to destroy the great world dictator, the beast, who'll be in control, and the 10 kingdoms will give their power unto him. And how Daniel fits into Revelation. How Daniel fits perfectly into Revelation. And the moment Christ comes and takes us to the clouds and takes us out as he promised to do for us, this awful man of sin will be revealed, and you have him at the beginning there of chapter 6. The white horse, the red horse, the pale horse, the black horse. There's his varied ministry as he takes over world power. We will be gone. We will be taken out. You know what God said to Daniel? Daniel, you close up your book. It's sealed until the time of the end. But when the time of the end comes, the wise will understand. And beloved, when Daniel was given this vision, he trembled and he was so paralyzed in the presence of what God had been pleased to reveal to him concerning all the sequence of these kingdoms down until the very end. He praised God. And may I say to you, good people, tonight, of all the wonders and of all the grandeur that God has bestowed upon us in Jesus Christ, the most wonderful thing is that in these days we have this knowledge for our hearts. Our God changes the destinies of empire. He changes the power of kings. He pulls down and nobody can lift up. And there's no end to the power of God in behalf of His people. Now will you turn, please, to Daniel chapter 7. Here's the great message of chapter 2. Of course, we've just seen that. And in chapter 7, you have the same identical historical sequences. But this time, it's a dream that God gave to Daniel himself. Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. That's chapter 7. It opens up. And then we have the four great beasts coming up out of the sea, diverse one from the other. Coming up out of the sea. And this great beast of Revelation 13 comes up out of the sea. The first one is Nebuchadnezzar. He's identified. The second one is the Medo-Persian Empire, beginning in verse 5. And I beheld another beast like a bear. The third one is in verse 6. And this I beheld, and lo, another beast like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of fowl. And that's your great Greco-Alexandria Empire. And then we have in verse 4, the world Roman Empire. And after this I saw in the night's vision. And he sees the picture of this dreadful, terrible, strong, exceeding great. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue of his feet. Here he is. And then we come to verse 8. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up from among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes, the eyes of a man, and the mouth speaketh great things. Now, verse 9. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, the eyes of a man. 666 is the number of a man. Here he is. Behold, the Ancient of Days did sit. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery steam issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld then, because the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even until the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. There's Revelation 19. The beast is taken, put into the fiery pit. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like unto the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom of all, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be moved. And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one that stood by and asked of him the truth of all this, so he told me and made me know the interpretation. These great beasts which are four kings which shall rise out of the earth. And then he goes ahead and describes them, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. This is the last one, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were on his head. Revelation 13, he has the 10 horns, and of the others which came up, and before whom three fell. Even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. That's what I told you this morning. When you get into that book of Revelation, that 13th chapter, he's going to make war with the saints and he's going to prevail. He'll kill them. Right down the line, if they don't have his mark, if they don't have his number, if they don't bear his name. Thus the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and shall subdue three kingdoms, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. These are the blasphemies that you have in the book of Revelation. He's blaspheming, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and a time and a dividing the time. There you are, 3.5 years. It calculates out if you check it. You're right back into the very heart of the book of Revelation. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. It is the end of the matter. It's the end of Revelation 19. It's the end of the matter. The Lord has taken charge. As for me, Daniel, my cognitations much trouble me, and my countenance changed within me, but I kept the matter in my heart. The book of Revelation was given to the church. We are spoken to in the seven churches, and we're taken out. At the opening of chapter 6, the Lord breaks the first seal, and here he comes on his white horse. Here he comes. And at that time, you have the beginning of the reign of this mighty beast. Now, I'm going to get into the ten kingdoms. I'll get into the three kingdoms. And you hear the talk about the revival of the Roman Empire. You hear the talk about the United States of Europe and the ten kingdoms of Europe and the old Roman Empire. But this Antichrist is to come from the people that destroyed the city. The prince of the people that shall come shall destroy the city and destroy the sanctuary. And then this one will be the one who will make the covenant with the people, with the Jews, for that week. And in the middle of that week, he'll break it. And then you'll have 3.5 years of the most awful, awful suffering the world has ever known or ever seen. Now, our problem, as we go on now into this book, now that you have the two personages laid out before us, the Lamb and the Antichrist, now that you have the schedule broken down as I've done it for you and tied in the Daniel prophecies of the image and the stone and the beast and the coming of the Lord Jesus to destroy him in Daniel the 7th chapter, and you've got that order. Now our task is to take these things now and break them down and fit them together the best we possibly can, and see how this thing is going to work out. But oh, beloved, every single human being under the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight should heed it, should turn to Christ and believe in him, and become his child. And so he can be delivered from this awful wrath to come. It's hard enough right now. I've got to go out tomorrow and get my gasoline. And I've got to thinking about this afternoon. You know, this crowd up here that's limiting my freedom. I've got to adjust all I do now on the basis of what I can get gas with the number of my tags. You poor women are have to go and adjust your purchasing and your kitchens and your operations and your meals. You're all going to have to do it. And we're losing some of our freedom. I know I'm losing some of mine. And from now on, I'm watching my gas tank and watching the filling station and watching my tag on the car and making sure I keep going. But just wait till the Lord takes us out in this mark of the beast, 666. I don't know what it's going to be. Ms. McIntyre was telling me that she and some of the girls went up to the city some time ago, and they went in some place, and when they went out, they put a little mark on their hand. Nobody could see it, but they wanted to go back, and when they went back in, they looked at it. They can mark you invisibly today. You can get marked and not know it, I guess. But at any rate, you're going to bear a mark. And if you don't have that mark, you can't buy or sell. You will not be able to get food. You will not be able to dispose of what you possess. It'll all be closed. And then during that period, those who would look at the book of Revelation, they'll say, oh, those fundamental preachers were right. Those men who said this was the Word of God, they were right. And if they do turn to believe in Christ, immediately they are put to death. And anyone who believes in Christ during that tribulation period, and there will be these tribulation saints, there will be some. Now I'm going to get into these 144,000 witnesses, this 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. I'll get into that for you as we move on down. But I'm trying to build this step by step so we can see how it all fits together in a beautiful pattern and how wonderful God has been pleased to tell us what He's going to do in judgment upon this earth. May I put it this way? Christ on the cross bore the penalty of all our iniquity. The most frightful thing that you can imagine. Everything that hell had for you and me, Christ endured. Now, those who have not Christ, those who turn their ears against His gospel, and those who will not believe that He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, when He takes us out, they're going to suffer and suffer and suffer in disaster and tragedy on this earth, the like of which the human mind has never conceived. But that's just the vestibule to hell. Because Jesus Christ called it the place where the worm dieth not and where the fire is not quenched. And beloved, we must turn to Christ while it's day. We must believe in the Son of God to the tiniest little boy and girl as long as we have the opportunity to hear this message of everlasting life, of pardon, of forgiveness, of salvation, of deliverance. It's only in Jesus Christ. He died for us. He paid the penalty that your awful sin could be blotted out. We could have grace and salvation. Yes, that tribulation comes, and it's coming now, and we must escape, be delivered, and we are. And Jesus wanted the church to have it. He wanted the church to see it. But when He says in Revelation 10 that the mystery of the prophet shall be fulfilled, we reach back into Daniel 2, and there's your image, and there's your stone that destroys it. That's Christ. Reach back into Daniel 7, and there are these frightful beasts that Daniel saw. And the last one, more fierce than all, with the 10 kingdoms, and the one king that absorbs 3 of them and rises and becomes the leader over all of them, and there he is. And then it is that the Son of God comes, the Son of Man in the clouds He comes. That's in Daniel, beloved, chapter 7. And those Old Testament saints that studied that and searched that, they said there'll be a day when the Messiah will come and He'll deal with the great world power that's seeking to destroy the people of God, and He'll destroy it. And then He'll set up His kingdom on this earth. My, how precious it is that you and I have the confidence of this God, and He's promised to the very end till He takes us out, that He will preserve a remnant, and He will preserve a people, and He will preserve those who will believe His word and await the fulfillment of these great prophecies. And they've been given to us, and they're no longer sealed. They're open for us to understand. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee that we've been able to identify the man on the white horse, the man on the red horse, the man on the pale horse, the man on the black horse. He's the same man. And each of the four living creatures which represented the ministry of our Savior in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke and in John, these four wonderful pictures of our Savior, are the ones who say, "Come and see. Take a look at this beast. Take a look at this Antichrist, this great world power who'll take over." And Father, as we go about our work, as we read the newspapers, as we move around and see what's happening, may these things in the Bible comfort us. May they quicken us. May they stir us to be faithful believers and faithful warriors. And may we maintain the work of Christ at all costs. For Christ's sake, amen.